Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.
Hey, welcome to Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger and Amanda, of course. We're doing a little solo thing today. We were just talking about friends who are in open relationships and or porn stars, and how having friends in LA just runs the gamut.
Yeah.
We just have all kinds.
Creative souls.
Mm-hmm.
I am involved in so much comedy now.
Sure.
Yeah.
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 Way more disgusting than porn.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, sadder. Yes. Sadder. At least sadder.
What's so much
sadder?
Sometimes
I'm at the comedy store, like, oh, what am I doing here?
Why is the comedy store so sad?
Everything's painted black, and they used to murder people in the basement when it was a place called Ciro's. It's like cursed.
Is it?
Yeah, it's haunted.
Okay. I feel like if I ran my hand down the side of the wall, there would be just as much grease as like a barbecue pit.
Yeah, it looks that way. It's actually, they do clean it, but it's everything's black. So even the bathrooms are black. Like the back room, if you ever went back there behind the, in the main room, the big one at the back, the backstage area back there that we are in, it's the bathroom's all black, and it, like, all the seats are black, and it's just, I mean, it's like the running joke is they made it that way so you could find your Coke. Probably true.
Probably.
But now everyone just pretty much smokes weed is the thing now. They go in the back and they, the back little bench area, this outdoor area where you can smoke cigarettes and stuff, and just everyone just gets high. So like, but like that was another era, but it still looks the same.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then the whole, you have to buy two drinks and they're horrible.
Oh yeah.
I'm not into that.
Yeah. I never had to do that, which is lucky, but, let me know when you go next time. I'll just put you in the list and you don't have to buy anything.
Okay.
You
know? Yeah. It's been a minute because it hasn't been the most lovely experience.
It's a lot.
I'm going to go to Dynasty Typewriter for the first time this week.
That theater's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do that on Thursday. So that'll be cool but I heard parking there is horrible.
Brutal. Definitely take a lift.
Okay.
a lift. Yeah.
But yeah, so much comedy, so many weird friends. I'm trying to think if there's one other person I have who I'm like, that's your job, and it's a real job, and it's super weird. Oh no, I should have had that before I said anything.
I did 50 First Jokes on Sunday, which is, they do it in New York and here in Chicago and all kinds of places. And it's traditional. It's your first joke of the year. So everyone tells their first joke of the new year. And my buddy John Roy was like, I just got back from Scottsdale, Arizona. That's comedy taking you. It'll take you everywhere you don't want to be. I laughed because it's like, it's an easy dig at Scottsdale, but like, it's so fucking true. All these places I started out flying to, I'm like, I got to fly there. Why can't I fly to, you know? And it's like, I'll find the fun wherever I go, but it's so true. Like when you're starting out, you're never like, oh, I get to go to Chicago or, you know.
I'm excited that we're going to Lafayette though, and Houston. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Hence why my text messaging you has turned into every day. That's like my form of being excited. It's like, I will tell you every idea I have ever because I'm so excited.
Please. Houston's the first place I headlined ever.
You told me. I think that's so rad.
And
that's
I've never been to Lafayette. I've been to New Orleans plenty of times, but like never. That's the only place I've been in Louisiana.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I've never been to Louisiana. I want to go to New Orleans really badly.
It's amazing.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, man, I'm excited. I also have to bring up the fact that this is essentially our first recording day of 2019.
Yes, it is.
Podcast has been killing it, and you ran into our patron saint today.
Yes.
Which I thought that was awesome, is Saint Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
On like the first recording day of the year.
I do this little hike that goes up into the hills up by the Greek Theater, and then this dude I was walking behind just went up a different way. He went up this hill into this different hiking trail I'd never been up. And I went up to, and it's this amazing shelf where it just overlooks so much of the city. And they're coming towards me, and I'm like, yep, that's Kevin Bacon. And I think his wife's name is Kyra, the actress.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, who's like, she was on The Closer. And she's done a million things. Amazing actor. Sucks that I can't remember her name, but they were walking by me with their dog.
Yeah. Shoot.
That was incredible.
Shoot.
Incredible.
That's so lucky. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good year.
Yes,
I'm so excited to tour more.
Yeah, me too.
That's going to be fun.
Me too.
Okay. Well, let's get going.
Let's hear the first call.
Special episode dedicated to daddy issues.
Nah. Okay.
All right.
Hey, what's up, Brunger? It's Chad in Portland. It seems like a lot of people have been calling in with questions about their dads or dad-related stuff. It's kind of weird. It's like a weird trend. I don't know if it's time of the year or what. But anyway, I got something for you. Had some pretty serious health issues with my dad not too long ago, and I flew back home to stay with him for about a month until he got back on his feet and transitioned into retirement and stuff. But in doing so, looked up some of his military records to help him get settled in with the VA. And it turns out he's full of shit about everything he did in the Army. And I'm an Iraq vet myself.
Wow.
And I don't know if he understands or knows that I know about his past in the Army and stuff like that and the lies that he's told, but it's really kind of bummed me out, and I'm trying to figure out a way to get through it and figure out a way to come to like some common ground and maybe talk to him about it. But every time I talk to him about anything seriously, he gets pretty mad, pretty upset, pretty violent. So it's, you know, we live in different time zones for a reason. Anyway, I appreciate your help. I love your work. You're super funny. Much love to you, man. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. Well, thanks for calling in, Chad. And, shout out to Portland and, thank you for your service. Sincerely. God, that's so hard. I think, off the top of my head, look, I feel like on this show, we get like a real good sense of people just when they're talking. Do you know what I mean, man?
Definitely. He seems together.
This dude seems like he's got his head on straight, and he seems like a very thoughtful person.
Yeah.
Has a good emotional core.
And stuff. But you can tell like this is really heavy for him, absolutely. And he's taking it absolutely very seriously. And
that's got to kind of burn your ass a little bit if you you served and your father just kind of lied about all the stuff that he did and in the armed forces. I think my first feeling is just maybe leave it alone, because it doesn't sound like you're that close to him. It doesn't sound like you need to be that close to him. I feel like you have probably the relationship is probably as good as it's going to get, and that's not your fault. It sounds like it's his, and you know. So I think I would kind of just, you know, like I'm kind of cribbing from my therapist right now, where it's like, when you grow up, you feel like, you know, I have to tell my parents everything and I have to know everything. It's just like, there's certain things you keep from people and you'll keep them from them till the day you die, and it's better for their sake. Where I feel like if you kind of just went and blew up this mess he's created, it's just going to send him into an even worse angry spiral. And it sucks that he lied to you, and it sucks that that's all there. But I think in terms of what's best is probably just, you know, leave it alone. I mean, like, don't let him necessarily lean on you too much or get away with too much or be abusive, any of that shit. But like at the same time, you know, it's,
yeah, I think it sounds like, especially since he's older and he's heading into retirement, it makes him upset. It's just path of least resistance.
Yeah.
And maybe look at why you want to take this head on so badly. Like if your relationship with your father is already sensitive, you know, maybe, I mean, yeah, naturally, if this doesn't have to be put out there, if you realize you don't have to address it, it's not like a lost sibling you've now discovered. Yeah. It's not like maybe,
well,
you know, focus a little more on the positives while you have your dad.
Yeah.
In this time.
And I feel like it's also, I mean, I just look at it from, I'm putting myself in his shoes a little bit, where it's kind of like, like I can imagine if that was my dad and he was like, you know, in my day, you know what we used to do, and in my back of your mind, you're like, fuck, you didn't do any of that shit.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a huge temptation to be like, I know, Dad. Mm-hmm. I know you lied. And look, you might reach that point, dude. You might. And if you reach that point, then okay. If he pushes you that far and you just can't hold back, and it's just like, this is enough. I've had it with this lie that I've had to fucking swallow all this time. I get it. But if it's not like a thing that's coming up, it's kind of, I'm like, Look, I mean, look, you might have to be, if he's like, I need my VA benefits, and you're like, Dad, you're not a veteran, you don't have any. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, if you have to tell him that, you got to tell him that.
I mean, is it that? Is it that he, see, that was one of the only little catch I have with this question was, like, did his dad lie, like, have shin splints? Or did his dad lie, like, he killed people? Or did his dad just not even do military at all and said he was?
I think it's that on some level, at least, because if the son is talking about filing, going through his VA files or whatever, mm-hmm. maybe he served, but maybe not to the degree that he did, that he said he did.
Right. And if
he,
so it's like a big fish.
And you would, yes. And situation. From what I understand, you wouldn't get the level of benefits if you'd done way less.
Oh, yes.
From
yes,
what
yes,
I understand.
Yes, yes.
I'm yeah, okay. talking out my ass. No, I mean, nothing hey, about yeah. military, anything really, besides my relatives who were and are in it. But like, you know,
I know this is heavy, but my mind went to like having the conversation up back in my day, we went uphill
sure.
in the snow.
Right.
And that's when you go, hey, Dad, you lived in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure, exactly.
Man,
yeah. Or there's no snow. Yeah.
But it's not, yeah. He seems like a great guy.
Yeah. I mean, it just sounds like he's trying to do the right thing. And just, I mean, I think we've given this advice before, but it's kind of like, don't let his bullshit, smell up your day.
Yes.
You know, don't, it's not your bullshit, it's his bullshit. And it's his, you know, you can close the door on that bullpen so you don't hear the bullshit, you don't smell the bullshit. It's kind of just like, all right, I will take care of you to a degree, but as you put it, man, there's a reason you live in different time zones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's healthy. That's yep. healthy as anything. Yeah. So anyway, man, I hope that helped you out. And, I guess I'll probably see you around Portland.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, Chad.
Hey, Matt and guests, I guess, and Amanda. I don't know. So
hi.
My dad died about 3 years ago, and now that it's a little easier to talk about him just in casual conversation or whatever, I keep running into this thing with new friends or new coworkers or on dates or whatever, where sometimes I feel this, like, compulsion to clarify that he died. I don't know. Honestly, it happens most when I'm talking about my mom in a way that seems like conspicuously singular, like where before I might have said my parents, and now I'm just saying my mom. I'm 27, so I feel like I'm young enough that most people would assume divorce. Not that there's anything wrong with having divorced parents or anything, but they very much weren't, and it feels, I don't know, disrespectful or something to even imply that accidentally. I don't know. I guess my question is just generally, like, when is the right time to tell people that, like, I have a dead parent? And like, is there a way to do it that just isn't a total bummer? I don't know. Thanks.
Wow. That's a tough one. I don't know.
Oh, I actually don't think this is that tough.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. Okay. Cause I have friends whose parents have passed, and I've gone through this a lot. I feel that, you know, when it's come time in your friendship or in your romantic relationship where it is time to talk about parents, you probably know them well enough where you're like, oh yeah, my dad passed away, but he was great. And then talk about your mom in present tense and then talk about your dad in past tense, right? Like, oh man, my dad had this pointer finger that was like this big, and he would always like drive it down to the, you know, to the point. He was known as the finger, but not in a weird way. Now sure. I realize that's a weird way.
Yeah.
I think that I actually think that she's feeling a bit more pressure than actually needs to be there. I mean,
yeah.
it's a big deal that he's passed, absolutely. But if you talk about him past tense and lovingly, that, you know, that's like a great way to celebrate him. And whoever these friends, growing friends, potential friends are, would probably embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend who father accidentally killed himself, and my friend found him when my friend was still a kid. And like, he was cleaning his gun. And it went off. And like, so, he, and he, the bright side of that is my friend never misses a chance to make fun of the fact that he has a dead dad. And my friend has very dark sense of humor, but he's also one of the funniest people I know. And he'd be like, "Ah, oh, I love playing. Guess what this is? Clunk, clink, clink. What? Me playing catch with my dad. I'm throwing a ball against an urn. You know." And like, he would be like, "I'd go home to visit my parents, and he'd call me, be like, 'Hey, what's it like having a dad? Must be great having a dad.'" And like, he would be at my parents' house and be like hugging my dad and be like, "Adopt me." And he's older than I am.
Adopt me.
Yeah. And so it's like, I'm not saying do that, but there is something to be said for getting ahead of it and just being like, "Well, my mom lives in blah, blah, blah. My dad's dead." Just say it out loud like that, you know, like make a joke about it or whatever. And it's probably way too early to be doing that, but it's like, just kind of keep that in mind. I mean, one of the biggest lessons I learned from when my friends, this sounds terrible, but like, I'm older than a lot of people who call in, younger than some, but like, I have dead friends, and when my friends, quote unquote, started dying, when it's inevitable in life, people just, they die. It was a very, you fucking, why do I, you know, survivor's remorse. And you have that when your parent dies for sure. Like, why do I deserve to live and they deserve to die? There's no deserve about it. But the big thing you keep in mind is, what would they want you to be like about them being dead?
Ooh.
If I'm dead, I kind of want people to make fun of me. And I want people to just act like I'm still there and say the same dickheaded shit they would say if I was around. So I'm not saying say dickheaded shit about your dad, but just be like, "Oh, you know, like, oh, my dad's dead, but he blah, blah, blah." And basically I'm reiterating what you just said, where it's kind of like, don't, you know, just, I agree with you. I think she's overthinking it and overfeeling it. I think, sadly, it's a fact of life. Death is regrettably common. Everybody's life has been touched by it. Or will. And so it's kind of like, well, you know, it's really, I don't think the concept of funerals in a sense is very selfish, because we're just like, oh, let's all kind of be sad together, where I don't think people would want you to be. I think they would want you to have like the happy memories, you know.
Like that thing of how would he want you to take it?
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
That was good.
Thanks. Oh. Thanks. Okay, I hope that helps.
Hey, Matt. Big fan for a long time. I have a serious question. My dad, back in 2012, my parents split up, and it was kind of hard, and it sucked, and, you know, I got depressed and other things, but, you know, I got past it. But my dad, he's very unsuccessful at dating. He got remarried and it didn't last a year. And, you know, it was really unfortunate. She just didn't really blend with the family. And it wasn't anybody's real fault. It was just kind of two dissimilar people. Then he dated a couple other gals that were a little off and a little problematic. One of them he married after knowing for a month, and then they broke up after a month. I really don't know what to tell you on that one. then
that was cute.
Yeah.
Recently, he dated this one gal, and they both kind of agreed that they wouldn't get married because, you know, they've been married a couple times before and it didn't work out. And they just didn't want to go through the legal stuff. And they kind of figured, you know, if we like each other, we like each other.
Yeah.
Well, she was wonderful and kind and nice. And I don't know what went wrong, but I got a text today saying you know, "I really appreciate your family. You all been great, but you know, I just, you know, it's been toxic, and I don't know, you know, maybe whatever happens behind closed doors is, you know, that's, you know, a different thing, but for the life of me, I don't know what it is. You know, my dad usually seems really nice to these gals. You know, I don't know if it's him. I don't know if you could give me any advice on how to talk to my dad about this. It'd be greatly appreciated. I don't really know what my question is like, you know, how do I figure this out? How do I help him? You know, how do I, after every time he breaks up, he's kind of a wreck.
Oh.
So yeah, if you can give me a hand on that, it'd be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
That's really hard, man. And I feel bad for you. And I feel bad for your dad, but I think that the way one thing I've learned, you know, being, as I get older, the older you get, the more you feel like you're sinking, the more you feel like you're fading away. And it's not, you don't think of dating as fun as you did when you were a kid. And here's one thing I fucking hate about society in general is that we stigmatize older people going on dates. We think it's like, oh, like you failed, you were in a marriage, it didn't work out. I mean, if a marriage didn't work out, it's not necessarily a failure, it's a good thing. Those people shouldn't be together. Is that more of a failure than people who stay together their entire lives and hate each other or are not in love? Right. Jesus Christ. So I think the best thing you can do is just, I'm not saying run in when he got dumped and be like, swing and a miss, Lothario, and or something. Got some condoms? You're not using them? Like nothing like that. But err on the side of that to kind of let him know that this is not a big deal. It hurts. It sucks. But I'm sure your father at his age, at least on some level, is looking at this as like, these are all failures. What's wrong with me? Now, there could be something he's doing that's wrong, that's toxic. I don't know. I don't have all the information. But I mean, you haven't mentioned anything that any – I feel like you as a son would have seen something in your dad's behavior that you're like, oh, he is doing this. He's abusive. He's being mean. He's withdrawn from these women. I mean, it's hard. Dating is really, really hard. And look, at least your dad tries. I feel like most men just withdraw and say, I give up. I know men my age who are like, I'm done dating. And I'm just done. Men and women. Who, I mean, at least your dad is, you know, putting himself out there. It's really what it is. It's really hard to date because you're laid bare and you're with this person and they at any moment can be like, I do not want to be with you. Whereas when you're alone, that's never a worry. You're not going to break up with yourself. So there's no risk, but no risk, no gain. So I think your father should, I hope he keeps an open heart. And I hope he's just leaves. He doesn't, I hope each experience like this doesn't embitter him. And I think if you're looking how to help, I would kind of just like, just add a little humor to the mix. Now, look, don't come in hot. Don't actually say you're batting 1,000, Lothario, high five, like I said. But just something that I've said this before, but I remember Kyle kind of started me back on the road to recovery after a horrible dumping that I had in Chicago, where I finally showed up to a comedy show. I hadn't gone to one in like 2 weeks or something. And he's like, look who pushed aside all the piles of used Kleenex to be with us. What's up, you sad fuck? And it was perfect because you needed to hear that. You needed to hear that. Like, yeah, you're right. I was being a bitch. Damn it, you know. So, like, a little bit of humor just to let him know that it's just fine, man. It didn't work out. She didn't want to be with you, and that's okay. You're better off than if she would have just been like, oh, I don't want to hurt him, but I don't like him anymore, you know.
I have actually like a happy-go-lucky story in relation to there being hope, because the fact that your dad keeps trying makes him sound like an optimist.
Yeah.
There's a magician at the castle who is widowed for well over a decade now and didn't date, and then finally met a woman he really likes and was telling a group of us about, because he's in his late 70s.
Wow.
Late 70s. And he found this woman, and he was telling us about how great the internet is because he had to look up, like, how to have old people sex, like, safely.
That's fantastic.
And he's like, you guys, he was like, there's so much information on the internet, and man, it's like my college days again. And he'd been widowed for a while, you know, like, widower. Yeah, anyway, and now he's like, went online, cool, got all, like, the safety pillows and stuff, and he's in love and going to town, you know. So if your dad's still an optimist, and also therapy.
Yeah.
So I just got broken up with 3 weeks ago, and I start therapy next week again. I mean, we're like a big proactive proponent of that.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to start because you know.
No, my,
not like I'm, I mean, I think I'm a great partner, but like I would like to be a better partner.
Yeah. I mean, my perspective, my therapist gives me so much perspective and it's so healthy. I always feel so much better walking out because there's no question if your dad is that wrecked after all those, after that breakup and he's hard to talk to, it's like he's got no perspective. And yeah. It's hard for, and that's, I think the therapy notes, the best one because you as a son, you know, he's not going to confide in you that much. It just doesn't work that way. Not generally. He would probably, especially being a man, he would take it as a blow to his ego that he has to be sad to his son. Where it's like, no, I'm supposed to be there for you. You're not supposed to be there for me. And that's frankly bullshit. You know? My dad and I, it kind of took forever for us to start. Like, just, there's just this barrier between men that... that I've found, just speaking from my perspective, where it's like we don't often talk frankly to each other. We don't reveal vulnerabilities. And my dad would make every effort, and I was the one that was always sewn up. And I've never been good at being a person who's just like, hey, can I talk to you? I've been feeling real sad lately, you know, or whatever. But now, like, my dad and I have had these really cool conversations because we're both adults, and it's kind of great. And I mean, you know, I think look at it that way, that you're both adults now. So why not fucking hash it out? You know, have a sit down and be like, chicks, right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Well, it's our deal.
It's all their fault. Am I right, Dad?
No. Yeah, God. Yeah. We're conspiring.
Jesus Christ.
Cool. But I think if you can keep him optimistic.
Yeah. And I appreciate you not, you know, not knowing what the fuck to do. I don't think I would know either. It's just, it's a lot. You only have one dad.
Yeah. Journey it. Together. Yeah. All right, last question.
Okay.
From your answer machine. That's embarrassing. I'll try to be more succinct. My question is, should I get rid of the credit card that my dad has allowed me to have, but not my sister? Should I just cut it up and anytime he says to use it, I just ignore him? Should I talk to him and say, hey, it's fucked up that you did this? Should I just mail it back to him? What should I do? I hate confrontation, but maybe that's just because I'm weak.
No.
Anyway, thank you. Bye.
Dude, first off, no one's good at confrontation. I mean, some drill sergeants probably, but like, it's just, it's not even about being good. Everyone hates it. Hates it.
Yeah.
And that's weird. I'm assuming he's probably the same age as his sister.
And yeah, they have to be really close in age. And then it's like a blatant favorite. Did you see that YouTube video where it's this guy recorded it where he shows his parents got him a pack of gum and then got his sister a new car for Christmas?
No.
And he's like, oh, who's the favorite?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, wow.
Yeah. I feel like this is like credit card, nothing. Well, who's the favorite?
And I think this is also like some blatant sexism too.
Oof.
Where it's like, I can't get this for your sister, she'd buy shoes
Ooh.
And drugs, you know, like women.
Yeah.
You know, you're a
man.
You're
can
a
I have
boy.
A credit you, card for shoes.
You'd
and
use
drugs.
The money on good things like sensual massages and hookers.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's like just it's got to be this thing where you just like women can't use money. What would they use it for? It's like the same thing as us, Dad. Food, shelter,
and massages.
Maybe not sensual, but maybe.
Maybe LA 2019.
Back to our friends. I would don't just cut it up. Maybe I don't know. What do you?
Cutting it up is so aggressive.
Yeah.
That's why. And then if you cut it up and send it to him, that's passive aggressive.
Yeah.
And
don't do that.
No. Like, I think talking to him about it is a good idea. And then after that talk, you know, whether your dad has had an emotional movement from it or not, you should give it back to him.
Yeah. And I think also maybe talk to your sister. I mean, he's probably talking to his sister.
About
it already, but like, yeah, I mean, it's just
or give it to your sister and just be like,
right. All
right, here's the deal. I'm confronting Dad on this card, so max it out.
And his dad is like,
then,
why is he?
And then we'll go and I will own all of it.
He's
be like, Dad, I maxed out this card. It's a bad idea for me.
Why are you shopping at Anthropologie so much?
Oh my gosh.
They only, I looked it up. They only sell women's things. only.
Like Victoria's Secret, they're going downhill. What are you doing there?
Just plants the idea in his mind that his son is a drag performer. Into drag.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Yeah. Oh, man. And we just had Willem on.
Yeah. Well,
that'd be perfect. I love it. I love drag. Convince your dad you're getting into drag. And then give him the card.
And then he has to call you.
Oh, yeah. Your dad just sees the bill. God. That's how you have the conversation.
I think that just the three of you have the conversation. You know, like next time you're all in the same, like, room. Don't use it, but like next time you go home for the holidays or you get together, it's just like, Dad, come on.
And you have to be 100% ready to give it to him. It's not even ready. No matter where the conversation goes, you have to give him back the card.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, period.
Yeah. I mean, this guy sounds like he's pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't need the card.
He sounds like he has himself together. He called earlier, and we have this problem sometimes. If your voicemail is longer than 2.5 minutes, it cuts you off.
Yeah.
So everybody, like, we want you to be, you know, as specific as you can, but just keep in mind, like, 2.5 minutes is what you got.
Right.
He'd gotten cut off, like, explaining some of the dynamics, but I feel like this question summed it up.
Summed it up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, talk to your sister, and confrontation sucks, man, but I just talked to my therapist about this today, so I'm ripping him off again. The thing you're worried about, the anticipation is always worse. What you're picturing in your mind is always worse than what's going to happen, because you might talk to him and he might take a second, be quiet for a second, and be like, you know, I never thought about that. You're right. I don't know why I won't give your sister a credit card. And so, like, either you both get a credit card or you get none. And I think that's how it's got to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because worst case scenario, you get mad, you throw it like a ninja star.
Yeah.
Cut him in the head, dead.
Right.
And then no one getting every, but nobody won.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't.
That's what I pictured. Like, being like, Dad.
Yeah.
Like, total Quentin Tarantino.
I pictured him being like, no, you don't understand. My sister she buys nothing but hunting equipment. And she's almost bankrupted the household at certain points buying compound bows and rifles.
What would be fun to see on that bill? What would be fun to see on that bill?
A can of Scentlock.
What's that?
It's you spray it so deers can't smell you.
Oh, yeah.
And the theme song, because we used to caption it, and a friend of mine, I'm doing my friend's act, but the theme song is, be the dominant predator. You are invisible. You got scent lock. Like, that's the, so it's just like,
oh, yeah.
Like, the ad is just a pair of swinging balls. That's all it is. Swinging nuts. That's all it is.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's so
She's funny. Got scent lock. She's got like a home UFC ring.
Oh,
she's got
a
curl bar. Yeah.
Like random spy equipment.
Sure.
That would be like, why does which?
Like those stupid, like way too big knives when like you're a little boy, you're like, oh, that one. Like dumb.
Yeah.
Some Rambo
this is
knife.
A knife.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crocodile Dundee knife.
That would be
like a useless knife.
Mm-hmm.
So heavy.
And then she gets like lavender bath salts, and the dad's like, see?
See, huh? Dad, that's one item.
Be like, her muscles are sore after all of the pillaging.
All the squat thrusts and the power lifting she's done.
She just needed to relax. It was a tough day of genocide.
Yeah. She's killed an 8-point buck with her hands. Shoulders are a little wrenched from breaking a fucking buck's neck.
Women.
Chicks, so violent. That's what I hate about women. They're so manly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Well, here, you do it this time.
Oh.
Okay.
No way. Okay. All right, everybody. As you know, this podcast is going on tour. So please reach out to your venues and get on to us. The email is advicefromadipshit@gmail.com, because 2019, we want to be all over this country meeting you. And
Yep.
We'll be taking like live questions at the show. It'll be awesome. Mm-hmm. Phone number to call in is 763-763-0228. That's 323-763. Why am I tongue twisting? Goodness. 323-763-0228. You do it so well. Goodness. Our Patreon is Advice from a Dipshit. We've really been putting in content on that thing. We've got behind the scenes from when Matt was on Stand Against Evil. We've got like bonus episodes for free up there too. So you guys don't, you know, just even if you throw us a buck, it really, really helps us out. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, you name it. We're you can even tell your Alexa now. Oh my gosh, we're on your Alexa. Like, tell your Alexa you want to hear advice from a dipshit and she'll be like, absolutely. Tell a friend and rate, because that's how we can spread out and get ourselves on more live shows to come see you. So tell your friends, subscribe. You guys are awesome. Social media is Advice from a Dipshit. Theme song is by Ben Wise. And yeah, Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you, Amanda. Great job, as always. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Fronger.